Welcome to Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer and the Babe. Arizona Boomer Radio gives voice to 1.4 million boomers throughout the Grand Canyon State and beyond. Each show has a different guest and a different topic. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now here are the hosts of the show, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And welcome indeed to Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer and the Babe. And today it's going to be just with the Boomer again. The Babe is out working on some other aspects. She's on her way to a meeting as we speak, as a matter of fact. So we're going to have the advantage of her presence in some future shows. And she's also doing her show now occasionally on the weekend, weekday afternoons, called Pathways to Wisdom, which she enjoys doing, and she's having very good response to that. So we invite you to listen to Pathways to Wisdom also. And you can check Boomer and the Babe, blogtalkradio.com/Boomer and the Babe, Boomer and Babe, I'm sorry, and see what some of the upcoming shows are as they appear. They appear four shows at a time that you have access to, so just kind of file through and see what there's coming up. Today is Friday, August 10th. 2012, and we're broadcasting from our studios in Sun City, Arizona. As I mentioned, I'm Pete Peters. Please go to boomerandthebabe.com, see everything that the Boomer and Babe Incorporated is involved in, and I think you'll find that we're doing a whole lot of neat things, and we've got more neat things coming up, which I will tell you about in the Boomer's inbox portion as we close the show. My guest today is Donna Anderson. Donna is the author of Red Flags of Love Fraud, 10 Signs You're Dating a Sociopath. Interesting book, and she has also put together lovefraud.com. It gets 50,000 unique visitors a month. Most by far are baby boomers, she says. And when it comes to relationships, everybody has issues, but some have more issues. They have personality disorders. Don Anderson explains how to spot the true partners in her new book, Red Flags of Love Fraud. And also, she has a help available, and people can talk to one another about this topic on lovefraud.com. Donna Anderson, welcome to the Boomer and the Babe Show. How are you
today?
Thank
you so much for having me. I'm terrific.
That's good. Well, it's going to be an interesting topic, I'm sure, an interesting conversation. I'm absolutely sure of that. But why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about you and where do you hail from and where do you come from and what have you done possibly prior to the work we're going to be talking about today?
Well, I'm in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and my background is journalism. I went to Syracuse University and got a degree in magazine journalism. I was the first editor of Atlantic City Magazine, and then I became a small business owner when I went out on my own and started Donna Anderson Copywriting, which is a commercial writing company, a boutique writing company, and I did copywriting for newsletters and brochures and websites. So that was my initial background.
And how long did you do that? And was that pretty much what you did until you, up to what you got involved in now today with lovefraud.com?
Oh, yes. I was running my business for a good 20 years. I still do it from time to time, so that makes it about 30 years that I've been doing this kind of work. And it's been real helpful for me because what I have a background in is communications, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is communicate the importance of the information that I have related to the sociopathic personality disorder.
Well, why don't we jump into it and you start to go ahead and tell us what is it that pushed you over the edge? Sometimes people have personal experiences in these areas. Sometimes people have relatives that are involved in these areas. What was it that pushed you over the edge that made you decide that you were going to take this on?
Well, I had the unfortunate experience of marrying a sociopath. This man took $250,000 from me. He cheated with at least six different women during our 2-year relationship. He had a child with one of those women, and then 10 days after I left him, he married the mother of the child, which turned out to be the second time that he committed bigamy. Now, I could not figure out what his behavior was all about. It was just astounding to me that a person could actually behave in this way, and it wasn't until I realized that he was a sociopath that I got my answers. And because of my experience, I developed lovefraud.com, which is my website. And what I do is I teach people how to recognize and recover from sociopaths. And since the website launched in 2005, I have collected more than 3,100 cases of people who have been involved with sociopaths.
Wow, that's a bunch of people, and I'm sure that's probably just the tip of the needle, so to speak, on the grand scheme of things. So, I mean, you can attribute the fact that you've certainly helped 3,100 people, but how many do you think there are totally?
Sociopaths? Experts estimate that 1% to 4% of the population would be could be called a sociopath, or the more formal term, antisocial personality disorder. And beyond that, there are people who have partial disorders, who are kind of along, have some of the traits of a sociopath, but aren't don't have them enough to be clinically diagnosed as someone like that. And beyond that, there are also people who have similar disorders like narcissism and borderline personality disorder. So all told, probably 12% of the population have some type of personality disorder that makes them unsuitable to be a romantic partner. So we're talking about 37 million people in the United States that if you're looking for a date, you should stay away from.
Well, for the purpose of our discussion today, how would you define a sociopath?
I define a sociopath as a social predator. A lot of people tend to think that sociopaths are all deranged serial killers, and that's not necessarily true. Most sociopaths never kill anybody, but they are social predators, and they live their lives by exploiting people.
And the exploitation can take many forms, I would imagine. It can be monetary exploitation. It could be sexual exploitation. It could be you name it. I mean, any way that you can think of to exploit people. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. These are the people who swindle their employers, who abuse their children, who neglect their children, abuse their spouses, they're bullies. They're often criminals. So I think that just about any trauma that our society faces is probably the result of sociopathic behavior, unless it's like a natural disaster. But probably a lot of the pain and a lot of the crime that goes on in our society is probably related to sociopaths.
That's an interesting statement. That means there's a whole bunch of them out there, obviously, in many walks of life, so to speak, or many methods of practicing. So, being a sociopath, there's a bunch of folks out there.
That's absolutely correct. You know, a lot of people tend to think that if they stay away from a criminal element or like drug dealers, that they're going to avoid this personality type, and that's not the case. Sociopaths are in all segments of society. I've spoken to people who were involved with these human predators who were doctors, lawyers, teachers, business people, entertainers, athletes, members of the military, members of law enforcement, even members of the clergy. So they are absolutely everywhere throughout society. They are men, women, old, young, rich, poor, good-looking, unattractive, whatever. I mean, they are absolutely everywhere. It's pretty scary stuff, actually.
Well, it does sound like it's pretty scary stuff, and it sounds also like you really need to have some ideas as to how to spot the behavior. And I know we've got some things to talk about there, but before we go there, tell me a little bit about As it regards what you were involved in with your former husband. How long did it take you to realize that that's what the behavior was?
It actually took quite a long time. I was married to him, you know, for 2 years, and during this time, let me back up. When I first met him, he presented himself to be this entrepreneur, and he seemed to have a track history when I met him of being successful in business. And he came to Atlantic City because he told me that he was in the process of developing a new indoor adult-oriented theme park. And I mean by adult is not a sex thing, but more, you know, for our generation, shall we say, for mm-hmm. boomers. And it would be based on electronics, and there would be, and this was early on, this was back in 1996, you know, so it would have a lot of virtual reality. And so he was telling me this whole story of how he came here, and he had other business plans as well. He was going to start a new television network based in Atlantic City called the Chance Channel, and that was his background. His background was TV and Hollywood. He actually was Australian and came to the United States to go to Hollywood to make movies. But when I met him, he was here living just outside of Atlantic City, so it wasn't like I was engaged in a long-distance relationship to Australia. He was certainly here. And he seemed to be truthful. I met people that he was involved with in the business community. He was involved politically. He actually started a new Lions Club in one of the small communities around here. I mean, who goes around and starts a Lions Club, you know? And so that's how I became involved with him. And later what happened was that he asked me to invest in his businesses, and that was the beginning of the money drain. He never asked me for money for like just to do something. It was always an investment in his business, and it was always an investment in what we were going to be doing together. So this went on, and you know, he was pretty quickly draining my money, but I had no idea that it was like a plan. The way I felt was that, you know, he was trying to get these businesses going, and he always told me that if I would help him over the hump, then everything would be fabulous. And he seemed to have absolute confidence in his ability to make his plans and his dreams come true. So it wasn't until like 2 years later that what I realized was that he was cheating on me, that I found evidence that he had had an affair with this other woman and had a child during our marriage, and that's when I left him. I mean, before that, I was always thinking, well, you know, what kind of wife leaves her husband because the business plans aren't working out? I didn't think that that was appropriate, even though I was really stressed and I knew he was lying to me. So it wasn't until that I found out about his adultery that I actually left. And then what happened, of course, by this point, it had cost me a couple hundred thousand dollars. And so then what happened was that about a couple of months later, I located another woman that he was involved with because I found all this information about people he was cheating on me with. And I called this woman up and I said, "I'm Donna Anderson. I'm James Montgomery's wife. And I'd like to suggest that you don't give him any more money." She said to me, "It's too late. I already gave him $92,000.
Hmm.
Yeah, right. So, and it wasn't until that point that I realized that my entire marriage was a scam. And then what happened was I had a therapist, as you can imagine. You need therapy after a situation like this. And I was telling her, you know, the story of what was going on and what he was doing. And she said to me, "He sounds like he's a sociopath." And I was like, "Oh, my God, are you kidding me?" And, I mean, I had no idea. So then I researched it and got some information on what a sociopath is, and I got a book by Dr. Robert Hare, who is the guru, shall we say, of this condition, and it perfectly described what my ex-husband was doing and how he behaved. And that's when I figured out what he was.
Can the condition, let's just talk about that for a minute, can the condition be reversed? With therapy and so on?
No, Not by once a person is an adult, once a sociopath is an adult, it is highly unlikely that they will ever change.
Really?
Yes.
So it's not like alcoholism as an example, looking at various things. I mean, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. It's just whether or not you're clean and sober or not, I would imagine. But once a sociopath, always a sociopath, and no chance to change.
There is no therapy that has been proven to make any change in a sociopath. In fact, there is some evidence, and there are actually several research papers, that indicate that therapy actually makes sociopaths worse. And the reason is because they go into therapy and they learn new tricks. They learn new ways to manipulate people. They learn new psychobabble that they can use to explain their problems away. And, you know, they actually get worse. And there are some research that indicates that it was done on prisoners, because that's where most research is done, because they have a captive audience, no pun intended,
right.
Or maybe a pun intended, who knows. But what they found was that the prisoners who got psychotherapy and tried to fix the sociopathy actually became worse.
Wow, that's interesting. If it can't be eliminated, it can't be you can't rework it so that you're no longer have the condition, and therapy makes it get worse. What's done about it? I mean, do they just go on through life with that behavior and everybody else in their path beware?
Essentially, yeah. One of the key things to understand is that the sociopaths themselves do not think there's anything wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't go to therapy. The only time they actually get in therapy is in two situations, one of which is that they are in prison, and the other of which is that they're court-ordered because of something that they've been involved with. But generally, they are pretty much satisfied with how they are, and they look at themselves as the people who are coming to the top because of the survival of the fittest. They look at the rest of us as, you know, dumb, stupid marks because, you know, we're emotional and we have feelings and, we react to things that they just think are, like, stupid. I mean, they generally think that the rest of us are stupid and that they are superior.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. So you're out and about, and you're, maybe you're into the dating scene, or maybe you're not. But I mean, you're out and you meet these people, unbeknownst to you that they are of that type. What are some of the things, the hot spots, or the symptoms, or tips, clues that you would look for, or that you should at least take a look at?
Well, that's exactly what I discuss in my new book, which is called Red Flags of Love Fraud, 10 Signs You're Dating a Sociopath. And what I've found through my conversations with all the love fraud readers and the case studies that I did, and also two internet surveys that we did, was that sociopaths all operate out of the same playbook. I mean, it's really astounding, but once you know what the warning signs are, they're very easy to pick out. And so that's actually the good news, is that these relationships are totally avoidable if you understand what to look for. And some of the symptoms or some of the behaviors don't seem like things that would scare you because they're actually the behaviors that you would hope to see on a dream date. Like, for example, the number one sign of a sociopath in a dating situation is charisma and charm. And these people are very appealing. They have a lot of energy about them, and they have this certain magnetism that just draws people to them. They can seem to be very exciting. And usually they're very smooth talkers and always have an answer for everything and never miss a beat. So that's about 93% of my survey respondents said that they saw charisma and charm in the individual that they were involved with. And
Excuse me, but that does that can apply then. What I'm saying is that condition can apply then to business as well, because if you're doing business with somebody and maybe they're talking to you about investing in their company on a business basis and there's no romance involved whatsoever, I mean, they could have charisma and charm in a business sense as well, and apply their wiles there, I guess you could say.
You're absolutely correct. Think Bernie Madoff, okay?
Okay.
There you go. But and here's another scary thing. I mentioned earlier Dr. Robert Hare, who did a lot of the groundbreaking research on this condition, and he uses the term psychopath. So, you know, a sociopath and a psychopath, in my opinion, are pretty much the same thing, although a lot of the research psychologists split hairs about that and say that they aren't. But he has a definition of a psychopath, which is a little more stringent than what the mental health profession usually calls antisocial personality disorder. And he estimates that 1% of the population meets his definition of a psychopath. But he also did some research and discovered that 3% of corporate executives meet the definition of a psychopath. So that means there are 3 times as many psychopaths in the corner office as there are out in the general public.
Pleasant thought.
Gets worse and worse, doesn't it?
Gee-many. That's unbelievable. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and do business with this guy, and I know that there's a pretty good chance that he's a wacko.
Well, you know, there's some other research that came out not too long ago, 3-4 months ago, that essentially attributed the financial meltdown of 2008 to the behavior of psychopaths in the financial industry.
Wow. Now, that's very interesting.
Yes.
Where was that? Where was that?
It was a study. Yeah, it was a study done by a British professor, and, you know, he looked at the behaviors, because one of the things that psychopaths or sociopaths like to do is that they're risk takers. They're big risk takers. So, you know, you have all these guys in the markets, in the financial markets, who are taking these big risks, because even the way the compensation system is set up in the financial industry, I mean, you get rewarded for risk, and there's no downside for making a mistake. You know, they don't lose their jobs. They don't have to give back their money. You know, so they place these big bets, and if they win, great. If not, oh, well, it's not their money. And so this mentality is straight out of the psychopath playbook, and I've spoken with folks who work in the financial services industry, and they say that, you know, there are so many of them in that industry because it's exciting, you know, there's a lot of risk, it's a lot of fun, and, you know, they thrive in that kind of environment, and they could have brought down the whole economy.
Now, what you just said to me is scary, spooky, in that you look at the leaders in Washington and you look at some of the candidates for the presidency and you wonder, based on what you just said, whether or not that they would fit that mold. And I don't want to get political, but you can say whatever you like, I don't care, but I'm just thinking, all of a sudden they hit me right between the eyes. You're going, aha, look at this.
I don't have an opinion on whether or not our two presidential candidates actually fit this disorder, because, I mean, there's a lot to it, you know. I mean, it doesn't mean that everybody who's a risk taker is a sociopath. It doesn't mean that everybody who's charismatic is a sociopath. I mean, that's actually why I have 10 flags, because, you know, people have to have pretty much all of them in order to meet this criteria. However, I can say that there are plenty of politicians who are sociopaths, and it's a great job for a sociopath, or at least they think it is, because all they have to do is talk and lie and be charismatic, and they get elected, and they have all this power. I mean, it's exactly what they're looking for.
And they have power, and they have money, and they have other people's money at their controls. And
yes.
It goes on and on and on. Let's. I want to I'm going to take a break here, a two-minute break. I've got some messages that we play about midway through, so I'm going to do that, and we'll come back and we'll start going through some of your 10 reasons or your 10 observations here about what you should be looking for if you're trying to identify your mate or prospective mate as a sociopath. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Boomer the Babe are the publishers of Boomer Series books. Our authors have their own shows on the Boomer the Babe Network. We encourage you to listen. Ron Naraki, author of the forthcoming book, The 10 Commandments of Investing, is the host of Wealth DNA, a financial show about real estate investment. Learn how to build and manage your portfolio. Ron hosts the show, and he always has good information to pass along, as do his guests. Listen to Wealth DNA on the second and fourth Monday of the month at 8 a.m. Arizona time. Tom Liggering's another Boomer Series author. His book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, is the basis of the show he does with his broadcast partner, Dr. Terry Munther. Listen to Success or Failure with Tom and Terry on the fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m. Arizona time. Learn how you can maximize your performance in business and in life. The methods you employ can either help or hinder. The choice is yours. The Boomer and the Babe are proud to be affiliated with Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. Valley View is now serving Phoenix from their new 36,000 square foot location at West Peoria and 107th Avenue in Sun City, Arizona. The new location houses the food bank, Feeding Arizona, and the Valley View Thrift Store. Feeding Arizona delivers food to other food banks and food pantries that are in need. If you're looking for a 501c3 to support, go to valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. All donations are welcome, be it food, money, or volunteer hours. No donation is too small. Get a hold of Jesse Ramirez, founder and director, and say, "I want to help." Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free.
And we're back. This is Arizona Boomer Radio Show with the Boomer the Babe. Today with the Boomer only. And my guest today is Donna Anderson, author of Red Flags of Love Fraud, 10 Signs You're Dating a Sociopath, and also developer of lovefraud.com, where people can get some help, share some stories, and find some comfort in the fact that they have been victimized by some of these folks. And it just sounds like a really great community as far as helping these people out. Why don't we, Donna, at this time, why don't you take a minute to tell us a little bit more about lovefraud.com and what it is and what people are actually doing on the site and how that all works.
Lovefraud.com is the best site on the internet with information about sociopaths from the perspective of the people who have been victimized. I wrote all the copy on the main website, and having been there, I take that perspective, and many, many people have told me that it precisely describes what they experienced. Beyond that, we have the Love Fraud blog, which is, we have about 1,500 articles, I think, now on the blog and somewhere close to 200,000 comments. And what's happened is that the Love Fraud blog has actually become a healing community. There's a lot of people who participate. People come and tell their stories. They ask questions. They support each other. Someone may tell what happened to them, and they'll find that someone else has had the same experience. And this is all really important because so many times when people are involved with these human predators, which is what they are, they find that it's very difficult to talk to other people about their experiences because folks who have not been through the devastation of the betrayal and the manipulation that goes on really have a difficult time comprehending just how damaging it is. So people come to Love Fraud and they're able to talk about their experience and everybody understands what they're talking about because we've all been there. So it's very validating for folks who have been through these situations. And I've received many, many emails and many comments posted on the blog from people who say that love fraud saved their lives.
Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff. Let me ask you this. Out in the world, the day-to-day world, if you, I say a euphemistic you, because I know you'd be able to spot these possible victims. But if somebody sits there and is bemoaning the fact that their mate, be it a male or a female, was treating them badly, or they made me think this way, and I just fell in hook, line, and sinker, and it turns out, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, what is the normal response of people that are out and about in the people that are not involved in the activity in any way, shape, or form, either as a victim or as a perpetrator? I mean, how do they generally react? I have this vision of them saying, well, you are a wacko, or you're just nuts for even letting yourself get involved in that. What was wrong with you? I mean, is there a certain element of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that is so distressing about people who have been victimized, because a lot of people tend to think that they were stupid for getting involved with the situation. In fact, the victims themselves tend to beat themselves up. I mean, I was very, very hard on myself when I finally figured out what was going on. I was hard on myself as, how could you be so stupid? How could you be so gullible? Why did you believe this? Why didn't you get out of it, when things were going along? And the level of manipulation that goes on in these involvements is just extremely difficult for anyone who has not been there to understand. Here's an example. Sociopaths are essentially the same people who become cult leaders, okay? Mm-hmm. So what they engage in is calculated seduction, and they do things and they say things, which we'll go over in a minute, but what it does is that it gets inside people's heads, and you end up in a situation where you actually become addicted to the relationship, because of what goes on actually makes changes in your brain. And there's chemical changes and structural changes as a result of these involvements. And that's, why it's so difficult to get out of the situations, even when you realize what's going on. And people who have not been there simply don't understand, and they find it very difficult to listen to someone trying to explain their experience.
Is there a personality type that is more susceptible to becoming a victim than not?
Actually, no. Sociopaths, what they do is that they find vulnerabilities in people. And guess what? If we're human, we have a vulnerability.
Sure.
They are experts at poking and prodding until they figure out what your vulnerability is. Now, for example, yes, there are people who are already in bad situations. I mean, if you think of a classic vulnerable person is someone who has had some tragedy in their life. And actually what happens is that if someone has been abused earlier in life, perhaps, in their family of origin or through a previous relationship or a previous marriage, unless they are able to overcome the effects of that abuse, they are certainly a prime target to be bait for a sociopath. Sociopaths like kind of hone into them. They can smell blood in the water like a shark. But by the same token, they also tend to go after people who are strong and powerful. In fact, many women get caught up in these situations, because they are strong and powerful, and they are just have an outgoing personality. And what happens is that, take for example a woman who runs a business. I mean, I've heard from many, many professionals who have gotten involved in these situations, very high caliber women. And what happens is that women like that want to have a mate of equal stature. They want somebody who's just as powerful and as charming and as successful as they are. Well, you know, a lot of guys tend to be intimidated by women who are perhaps, you know, higher up in society or higher up in the corporation than they are. So they won't approach a woman like this. But a sociopath will. And a sociopath has no fear. And a sociopath, you know, is great at putting on this act of charisma. And there tends to be a match there. You know, a woman who is strong and powerful thinks that she's finally found her equal. And that's what happened to me. You know, I felt like I finally found someone who deserved me. And that's how you get caught. So the bottom line is anybody is susceptible to being involved with a sociopath.
Wow. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Let's get back. We've discussed the number one sign, charm and charisma. How about number two I've got on the list here is sudden soulmate.
Yes. Sociopaths seem to be everything you ever wanted. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is because they listen very carefully to everything that you say. They figure out what you are looking for, and then they make themselves into that person. So you feel like you found the person you've been waiting for all your life, and in fact, the sociopath will say, look, we have so much in common, we must be soulmates, you know, let's make a future together.
Exactly. Okay. I've used that line myself.
Oh, dear.
Sexual magnetism.
If you feel an intense attraction to this person, it could be their excess testosterone. All sociopaths, both male and female, and there are male and female sociopaths, they all have excess testosterone. And, you know, what happens is they all are very sexy, and they like sex, so they tend to start young and get a lot of practice and engage frequently. And many people have told me that the sex they've had with sociopaths is the best they ever had in their life. Unfortunately, it's usually very hollow because there's no emotion inside. But sometimes you get caught up in the situation and you don't recognize that.
Physical activity takes hold and a lot of the other stuff is just put aside then.
Yes, that works for a while. Often, eventually, people realize that, you know, there's something missing here, you know, like love and affection. But in the beginning, it's fabulous.
What is love bombing?
Love bombing is the key tactic that sociopaths use in order to seduce their intended target. And what it means is that the sociopath will shower you with attention and affection. They'll put you up on a pedestal. They'll make you feel like the most important person in the world. They actually may tell you that you're the most important person in the world, at least as far as they're concerned. And so what happens is you feel like you're getting attention that you never had in your life, and it must be love.
Yeah, what else could it possibly be, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about this? I'm gonna skip by just for a second, and we'll come back to it. But my eye landed on lies and gaps in the story, and let me tell you why that I landed on that. I think is because I used to be in a position of hiring people.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was self-employed, way back in the day, and we would at the time, you would get somebody's resume, and when you were looking at people's resumes, and when you were told to how to prepare a resume, you wanted to make sure that you didn't have any gaps in employment, because that would be a sign of what's going on with this person. So I mean, it turns out now that that's also the situation as it comes to identifying this behavior.
Yes, all sociopaths lie. They lie like they breathe. They lie when they would be better off telling the truth. They tell big lies and small lies. They tell outrageous lies. And then sometimes they forget to tell you things that they should tell you, like perhaps the fact that they're married. And what will happen is that you'll notice that sometimes the stories don't add up, or they say one thing, and then you'll say, well, wait a minute, before you said that, and you may catch them in a lie, and then they'll tell another lie to cover up the first lie. You know, and this is the cardinal sign of what a sociopath is, because all sociopaths lie. If a person is not lying, they're probably not a sociopath.
Well, it's like the old adage that, you know, the best way to make sure that you're going to not get yourself in trouble is just don't lie to anybody. Then you don't have to remember your lies. But obviously, that's not the case with these folks.
Some sociopaths are able to catalog the lies that they tell and never forget. Some sociopaths are really smart, and you know they're able to just keep it all straight and keep everything. You know, remember who they told what to, or the other thing that they do, which my ex-husband did, is that they mix in enough truth with the lies that whatever they say seems to be plausible. And then it becomes very difficult to figure out what is truth and what is falsehood because it's all intermixed.
Well, yeah, it just becomes one big hazy story and they just keep talking, I guess, huh?
Yes, and another thing is that there is research that shows that the longer somebody says something, the more people believe it. So they could be telling their lies forever and eventually people believe it. It takes on the aura of truth, even if the whole thing was a lie from the very beginning.
The whole thing was a smokescreen.
Yes, yes.
There are all kinds of stories, and there have been movies made about these imposters, these people that have been a dentist, they've been a doctor, they've been a lawyer, they've been an Indian chief, whatever it may have been. And they've all had, at some point, these powerful jobs and so on and so forth. And if you're probably maybe too young to remember, maybe you're not, I don't know, the story about the woo-woo kid. It was a movie that was on television a long time ago. I'm trying to remember who the guy that was the Dr. Dreamy on the television show. He played that role as a young man, and this was this young man that was moving around, falling in love with these various women, and so on and so forth. I'm guessing that was a portrayal of a sociopath of sorts.
Well, I don't know about that particular movie. I'm not real good on movies, so that's hard for me. But I can say that, yes, they can be imposters. I lived that one, too, because my ex-husband claimed to be in the military. What he told me was that he had served in the Australian military and did two tours of Vietnam. And I didn't even know that Australians served in Vietnam, but they did. And he came here to Atlantic City and was active in the Vietnam Veterans Organization here. He also told me that he was still part of Special Forces and that he was essentially on loan to the American Special Forces. He would fly down to Tampa where the MacDill is, where it's just the home of Special Forces. And you know, he told me he was going out on missions. I went with him twice when he did presentations to school children on Veterans Day, you know, talking about what it's like to be in the military and how sad he was when his buddies got killed. The guy was never in the military. Never, ever. He was telling that story since at least 1985. It had been going on for 10 or 11 years before I met him, and eventually that was how I exposed him, was I had contact with an organization in Australia that researches military frauds. They researched his story. They researched all the documentation that he gave me. It was all fabricated. The whole thing was made up.
Wow.
Oh, it just goes on and on.
Oh, I believe it. It's I'm going, wow, it's just amazing to me. Blames, another one of the points that we glossed over earlier because I wanted to get to that lies and gaps thing. Blames others for everything. Point number five.
Yes. Nothing is ever a sociopath's fault. They always have an excuse. They never take responsibility. And everything bad that happens to them is always because someone else had it in for them, or someone else didn't do what they were supposed to do, or whatever. But this is a really important sign because it's something that you can see right away and it doesn't masquerade as something that you would like in a dream date, like the ones that we talked about earlier, charisma and charm and love bombing and sexual magnetism. I mean, you know, who doesn't want to go out with someone, you know, who has those traits? But if you see someone who has those traits and is also blaming everybody else for anything that goes on, this is a really big red flag that you need to pay attention to.
Intense eye contact is number 7. I find this one really interesting because they say to you, look them right in the eye. I mean, that's what they talk to you. When you're in a sales situation, when you're trying to be emphatic with people, you're trying to get them to see your point of view and that you are very sincere, look them straight in the eye. And now, all of a sudden, looking them straight in the eye can be a danger signal.
Yes. And think about what you just said. I mean, essentially what a sociopath is trying to do is make a sale. You know, they're trying to make a sale to you that, you know, they're the person that you want to be involved with. And so that's exactly what they do. They look you right in the eye. But sometimes it's even more than that. I mean, because another thing that goes along with this is that sociopaths often have this emptiness in their eyes. You know, my new husband, who is not my sociopathic ex-husband, he describes it as shark eyes. It's like they got these, you know, black holes, you know, where their eyes are supposed to be. And you may have seen people like that. And what's interesting about this is that generally, if someone has this predatory stare, you may have a reaction to it. I mean, you may feel like, you know, they're sizing you up for their next meal in a metaphorical sense, or you may, the hairs on the back of your neck may go up, or you may get this chill, or you may get this really bad feeling. And it's very important to pay attention to this because, you know, this is about the only physical sign that somebody may have this disorder. Now, not everybody has it. My research shows that about 60% of my readers said they saw the predatory stare or the intense eye contact, but it's the only sign that, on a physical perspective, that someone may be disordered.
Moves fast to hook up.
Sociopaths will sweep you off your feet in a whirlwind romance. You know, they talk about love at first sight. They quickly proclaim how in love they are. They want to move in together right away. They want to start a family. They want to be together. I mean, why should we wait? We're in love. And many, many people, I think my figures were about 80% of love fraud readers indicated that this is what they experience. And, of course, the reason is that they want to get their hooks into you before you escape.
Now, this is different than going out to a bar and a man or a woman looking for a one-night stand, correct?
Yes and no. I mean, sociopaths like sex, so they often are looking for one-night stands.
Okay, all right. That's interesting. I mean, I hadn't thought of it that way. I mean, you're talking about this other thing, and I'm thinking one thing, and all of a sudden it came to my mind. I said, oh, yeah, so you're going out and you're having a drink and say, hey, baby, how about it? She says yes, or she says, how about it? And you say yes, but they still could easily be a sociopath. There's no doubt
about
it, obviously.
Sure. I mean, many of them, you know, are just looking for a notch in the bedpost.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We got two more to take care of. One is pity play. What is pity play?
Sociopaths will appeal to your sympathy. They want you to feel sorry for their abusive childhood, for their financial problems, for their crazy ex, and they want to try and convince you to do what they want you to do by making you feel sorry for them. Of course, you know, these stories that they tell you with great detail and emotion or fake emotion, the stories may or may not be true because, you know, they're quite capable of making it up. But there's another well-known author who writes about sociopaths, Dr. Martha Stout, and she wrote The Sociopath Next Door, and she says in her book that it's the number one sign that somebody is trying to take advantage of you is that they play to your sympathy. My research doesn't quite back that up because I found charisma and charm to be the number one sign, but the pity play is definitely something that they do.
These, as we've been going through this list from charisma and charm, sudden soulmate, sexual magnetism, love bombing, blames others for everything, lies and gaps in the story, intense eye contact, moves fast to hook up, and pity play. There, that's from 1 through 9. Is that the rank that you have them as far as frequency? Is that what is it? That number? Is it
no.
represented that? No.
No, they're not. I did put the number 1 at the top, and I don't think that they are necessarily a numerical frequency, no.
Okay.
But the idea is that, you know, you do have to pretty much see all of them in order for somebody to be considered a sociopath.
Okay, so it's a by 1 or 2 of these doesn't necessarily make them a sociopath, but you say that all sociopaths harbor all of them, is that correct?
Pretty much. Sociopathy is what they call a continuum, and what that means is that they're not all the same. This isn't a black and white. You know, there's a lot of gray going on here, and the different individuals can have these different traits to different degrees. One of the biggest traits also is manipulation and deceit. You know, the lies that we talked about. I mean, that's really key to this disorder as well. So what happens is that they're not all the same, and that's why people struggle so much to define, like, who is and who is not a sociopath, because it's not an either-or thing. There's a range of traits, and people can have any of the traits to differing degrees. So people are somewhere on the continuum, and that end of the continuum is like, you know, these people could be the ones who are serial killers and who are criminal and really violent, but the people who are halfway through the continuum are not somebody that you'd want to get involved with romantically.
So then, is it safe to say that there are degrees of sociopathy?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. It's sort of like having a part-time job or a full-time job, huh?
It's something like that.
The last one on your list is Jekyll and Hyde personality. Explain that one to our listeners, please.
Yes. 1 minute a sociopath will love you and tell you how wonderful you are, and the next minute they hate you and are ready to throw you out like a piece of trash. And you may have absolutely no idea what sparked the change. Their personality can change like flipping a switch, and it just leaves people mystified. And what happens is this is one of the situations that often leads to the victims doing what they call walking on eggshells, because you never know what the person's going to do. They might be loving and affectionate 1 minute, and the next minute they're flying into a rage. So this is something that many, many people experience who are involved with sociopaths.
We've gone through your list. We've had this wonderful conversation. And if any of our listeners that listen to this show, either live or on the archives, have an inkling based on everything that we've said, and particularly these 10 points that you've just gone through, if they say, you know, I might just be a sociopath, what should they do? And they say, and they're sincere, and they say, I really don't like this. I don't like being this. What should they do?
Well, first of all, as I said earlier, sociopaths themselves generally do not think that there's anything wrong with them. It's pretty rare for somebody to be concerned about their disorder, although I do hear from folks from time to time, and, you know, they tell me, you know, it's not fun to be the way they are, but I mean, if they're really serious, they could try and find a therapist, and it would take a lot of work. The changes that need to go on in the brain in order for somebody to recover from this are pretty difficult, and I don't know of any cases where people have successfully overcome. Mostly, you know, they just don't care. I mean, you know, the key thing is that sociopaths are into power and control. I mean, that's what really motivates a sociopath. They have no ability to love, or their ability to love is severely diminished. So consequently, what they do is that they pursue things that give them power and control, and that's what they find rewarding. And, you know, they find that rewarding, and they see no reason to change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is sociopathy considered to be an illness?
It's a personality disorder.
Okay.
And what that means is that it's actually highly genetic, and this is another scary thing, is because people tend to be born with a predisposition to become a sociopath because they inherit it, you know, from their parents or somewhere up the family tree. And there is some work being done to try and help folks or children who have a predisposition to the disorder so that it does not develop, but it can be very difficult. And what they require is, like, extraordinary parenting. There is not necessarily a death sentence if a person has inherited this disorder, because it comes about as an interaction between both the genetics and the environment, which generally means parenting. But usually what happens is that if a kid is born with a predisposition to become sociopathic, it's because one of the parents are sociopaths, and sociopaths make terrible parents. I mean, they, you know, treat the kids the same way as they treat everybody else. They see them as somebody to exploit for whatever their purposes are. At least they tend to neglect the kids or perhaps emotionally abuse them. And at worst, I mean, it could be serious, like child abuse. So kids born into this situation often just get a double whammy, and sometimes there's, you know, not a whole lot that can be done.
Right, right. Well, I'm looking at the clock on the wall here, Donna, and I see that we are really down to the short rose. And I want to thank you for being on the show with me today. It's been a very interesting conversation, and I think a very enlightening conversation. And I hope other folks that listen to this can find some enlightenment as well. I'd like to give you an opportunity to do what we call, and I call, your shameless self-promotion. Tell us anything you want to tell us about your book, how they can get hold of it, anything more about your website. This is your opportunity to do a commercial, so please have at it.
Well, my new book, again, is Red Flags of Love Fraud, 10 Signs You're Dating a Sociopath, and I go through everything that we talked about and more, put it all out. It's very readable. It really helps folks to recognize if they are in those situations. And I also have the Red Flags of Love Fraud workbook, which helps you to identify if you have vulnerabilities so that you can figure it out before a sociopath does. And if you feel like you have been targeted, it can help you figure out how it happened, which is part of the healing process. And they're both available on my website, which is lovefraud.com. In fact, the workbook is only available on the website, although the other book is available on Amazon and through bookstores. So I do invite people to get a hold of this book. It's really important that we have this information, because if you know that they're out there, and if you know what the warning signs are, you can prevent these relationships. And these are absolutely the worst possible relationships.
Well, Donna, I tell you, it's been very enlightening and very good information. I thank you very much for being a guest on the show. I'm going to give you a quick call after I sign the show off, which it'll be about another 5 or 10 minutes if you're going to be available. A couple of things I'd like to talk to you about as far as maybe some things that we can do in the future. And thanks again for being a guest. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Take care, and I will talk soon.
All righty.
And this is the conversation we had with Donna Anderson, author of LoveFraud.com, the website LoveFraud.com, and Red Flags of Love Fraud, 10 Signs You're Dating a Sociopath. So anybody that thinks that they may be involved there, or if they'd just like to have general information about the disorder, please look that book up and go to the website, or both. And there's some good information and helpful information there for you. We're going to do a little bit of the Boomer's Inbox now, a couple of things I want to mention to you. We'll do it in the form of the Boomer's Inbox, a little intro music, and we'll be right back with you. We'll be right back.
It's time to open the Boomer's Inbox. We pass along tidbits of information that were sent to our inbox and we found interesting. Notes come to us from sources including customers, PR agents, and listeners. If you have something of general interest that you would like to have on air, send it to boomersinbox@gmail.com. That's boomersinbox@gmail.com. We'll try to get it on air based on time available. boomersinbox@gmail.com.
Yeah, this is the case for Boomer's Inbox today. We have a few things we want to tell you about. First of all, we got an email from a good friend of ours with regard to wearing a helmet when you're riding a bicycle. She apparently had a tumble, and she has damaged her head, and she is suffering now. I guess it's been another 6 or so weeks that she is still suffering from concussion syndrome. So she just sent that along and said, if you get a chance to mention it to people on the show, please go ahead and do it. Just warn everybody that it's really a good idea to wear a helmet when you're out riding a bicycle. Certainly yourself, adults, have your kids riding that are riding, have helmets. As strange as it might seem, cowardly as it might seem, take advantage of it because you never can tell when it might be something that we would be glad you had done. She was not wearing a helmet, and she is still not feeling well because of it. The other thing I wanted to mention is that starting in September, we will be broadcasting 2 shows a day, Monday through Friday. Boomer the Babe Show will move to 11 a.m. Arizona time. And the Arizona Boomer Radio program will move to 9 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Arizona time. Now, what we're doing with our shows is we're kind of separating them a little bit. What we're doing right now, what you heard today, is a bit of a hybrid, but we're going to be actually separating them. And the Boomer and the Babe Show, as it has always been in the past, will have more of a national flavor to it, and Arizona Boomer Radio will be more specific and directed towards the Arizona market and Arizona listeners, because that's where we are. We're in Arizona, and we want to try to do something for our surrounding area and our state as well. So with that, that's kind of the information. Next week, we have a couple of really great shows. On the 13th, we have Ellie Kaplan. She's the CEO of Lexion Capital Management, which is the only fully female-owned financial institution, or certainly the first one at any rate. So she's going to be talking about credit and mortgages. Then on the 14th, we have Carolyn O'Connell, Every Woman's Guide to Romance in Paris. So that should be a fun show. And then again, on the 15th, we have John Mayer and me, Pete Peters, with our Exploring Faith show. In addition, I forgot to mention that on the 13th, Ron Naraki, one of our show hosts, will be on with Wealth DNA for his programming on the 13th at 8 a.m. in the morning. So that's on Monday. So please join us again next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. And with that, we'll say goodbye and enjoy your weekend, and hope to see you back and have you back with us on Monday. Take care now.
You've been listening to Arizona Boomer Radio with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Arizona Boomer Radio is produced by the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated and can be heard Monday through Friday. You can sign up for their online magazine at boomerandthebabe.com. To reach the Boomer and the Babe, email host@boomerandthebabe.com or friend them on facebook.com/boomerandbabe. And on Blog Talk, you can friend them at blogtalkradio.com/boomerandbabe. Follow their tweets at twitter.com/boomerandbabe. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. And remember, at 50, you're just getting started.